very welcome to this week's Over the Line with myself, George McDonagh, and John Mulligan, as we're here this evening on Monday night as we look back on what was a very packed weekend in sport, despite the fact that Galway United's game versus Sligo bit the dust on Saturday evening. That will be replayed, that would be refixed for this night, fortnight, as we learned this evening. But it was also the weekend, John Mulligan, that Galway got their All-Ireland crusade, let's say, underway in London with a facile success. Now the pressure is on Galway to outdo what our neighbours in Mayo done yesterday in Times Square, or on Saturday evening in Times Square. We have to take all over this time next year, God willing. We also see, unfortunately, defeat for the Galway ladies. Sees them relegated, worrying times there, I think. And we look at wider Connacht's great success in Poe. Not many people gave them, something we'll discuss in the second hour. We're joined by Danny Cummins and Adrian O'Neill in our panel. Farcical, John, that people wanting to go to that Connacht game have 6 days to arrange travel to go to Italy.
And some of them less, George, to be honest, because some of them were only making their way home now. So they'll be arriving home today, then work tomorrow, Tuesday, and more than likely having to leave on Friday if they want to go to Treviso, because given, now the best man to explain this is probably the likes of William or Rob, but you've got to go to Treviso for a game, which is not the easiest place to get to, which means some of them might have to leave on the Friday to make sure that they're on Saturday for a 12:30 kickoff, remember, on Sunday. And you know, it's a lot of, if you use the word farcical, confusing is the word I'd like to use, because this is not, and I think this is, I can't remember when the last time it was where you had a quarter final in the last 16 game within 5 days, 6 days of each other. There used to be always a couple of weeks, so it had a bit of build up and a bit of excitement to it. But it is what it is. And I think even the most fervent of Connacht fans might have had their doubts that, you know, they would have done this, but they did. They were phenomenal. It was one of the best team performances I've seen all year, never mind from Connacht. And now they got to take on a Benetton team who beat them only a couple of weeks ago in the United Rugby Championship. Correct. So there's a bit more at stake, and it's adding a little bit of juice to it.
There is, yes, of course, a draw for the Galway under 20 hurlers as well with Offaly, and we'll have more about Offaly in a few minutes' time. But also, those of us who didn't see the Connacht match yesterday for a simple reason, we were all in Old Trafford to see Manchester United and Liverpool. And you know, you just think about it, this is the greatest Liverpool team we're hearing of all time against the worst United team of all time, and they still can't beat us. And again, the penalty and Mr. Vair in jumping in.
I would argue the penalty was the penalty. I don't think it was a penalty, but I think that there was a little bit of, there was a handball a few seconds earlier, which was a penalty and completely was missed. So maybe Liverpool were just kind of done a bit of a favour for that.
Maybe there was, John. But also sad news, there was the passing of Joe Kinnear, a great soccer man, a manager of Wimbledon, you know, the crazy gang you think of them does, but also a man who served the Republic of Ireland very well and won UEFA Cup and FA Cups with Tottenham Hotspur back in the day. And he died after a long battle with illness. And another great racing man that passed away sadly at the weekend, a man called Paddy Dunigan. And a lot of people in Galway who attend racing at Kilbeggan would know Paddy quite well, and I also did myself. He was a man who was very passionate about his track in Kilbeggan. They did an awful lot of good work over the years to grow the fixtures and to grow what happened, and grow the racing public up there. It's now one of the best attended tracks in the country. Paddy sadly passed away at the weekend. He was a man who loved his racing, as I say, a regular visitor to Galway. And we think of Paddy and his family at this time, as we think of Joe Kinnear also. But speaking of Joe's, and as a man who I've thought we might love to get into studio at some stage to speak about his career, a man who probably done more for advertising for a certain airline earlier this year, or late this year, when one thinks of it, with what happened with his luggage, but is a man who has won more golfing tournaments than I would think we could list between now and 9 o'clock, a man who has represented Ireland, represented Connacht, and of course represents the Galway Golf Club all over the world. Joe Lyons, you're very welcome.
Thank you, George. Thanks for having me in.
Joe Lyons, you were a man that, you know, obviously you love the golf. It's a huge week first in golf, and this one of your favourite tournaments, I would think.
Oh, absolutely, the Masters. I remember watching the Masters back as far as 8 years of age when Seve won in 1980, and I'd say I've probably been watching it every year since. And it's a flip of a coin for me between the Masters and the Open Championship as to which is my favourite event to watch during the year.
It's two totally different courses, of course, but we were just talking off air. It's now came into it's Masters Week now. It just shows you the way, I suppose, is it TV or what, all the attention that has grown the game?
Yeah, I think TV has a lot, and more people coming to the game. I suppose one of the things that's directed at Irish golf a lot the last number of years is that, oh, back in the 70s and 80s, we used to have 40 lads on the European Tour. But back then, there wasn't that many people from around the world playing golf, bar, you know, the British and the Irish and the Americans and maybe a couple of continental Europeans and South Africans and Australians. Whereas now it's a global game, and, you know, to be fair, I suppose the powers that be, even though golf has a lot of problems, they are beginning to try to promote junior golf a bit more and ladies golf as well.
Speaking of golf, and I know we won't call you an afty man, we won't call you a golly man, but where was Joe Williams born?
I was born in Killarney, believe it or not. Yeah, so my dad is always here. He tells me I'm a Kerry man. So, yeah, so my dad worked in the bank and he was bounced around a lot back in the 60s and 70s. And myself and my older sister were born in Killarney. Our next lad was born in Dublin. And then my younger sister in Tuam and my younger brother in Bannisloe. So, we were moving around a lot, but we wound up in Banagher in the late 70s.
In Banagher, and was it in Banagher that your first involvement with golf would have come?
Bore Golf Club, is about 6 or 7 miles from Banagher. But so, you know, Dad at that stage had become a keen golfer. He actually was a very good golfer. He got down to 2 handicap or so, and he would have played in the senior cup team with Bore. His first love would have been hurling, really. He would have hurled with Mullia and Leitrim back in the 60s, and all the lines is, you know, they were involved in hurling out there. So by then, I suppose, having been bounced around places like Donegal and Roscommon and that, he had packed into hurling at that stage, and he was a very keen golfer.
Your dad played in a county final.
He played in the county final against Turlochmore in 1966, unfortunately they were beaten. I think he tells me they won it was Leitrim Mullia at the time. They won a county senior league in around the mid 60s sometime, but he played in the team with his brothers, Pat and Joe. And so Joe at the time played county for Galway. I think he was captain of a minor team in 58 and came on as a sub in the senior final in 58 in Croke Park. And Galway lost both games, I think. But I think Joe, the brag at home, he was very good. And anybody that I've met, you know, in around Galway, and there's a few of the lads in Galway Golf Club even would say that, you know, he was one of the finest hurlers they'd seen. He played Railway Cup at 16 years of age at a time when Railway Cup, I suppose, was up there.
A marvellous competition, yeah, yes. It was a great honour to play, but it had a bit of a standing within the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, on the mum's side, though, there's a fair rugby connection.
There is. Cammy Kelly, I suppose, who lives around the corner from me now, from Loughrea. So my mum grew up in Loughrea, and my dad grew up in Leitrim. Mam's brothers were Cammy, played with Regions, played number 10 for Regions for a while.
Very, very good.
I believe he was very good.
He was.
And Joe, his younger brother Joe, of course, played, I think,
known more affectionately as the Bomber.
Joe Bomber, yeah. Played with Connacht as well, indeed. And by all accounts, very good too. I think front row or second row.
He played the title prop, and he would have played in the second row as well for Loughrea.
Yeah.
But they were instrumental, and Cammy was certainly an outstanding outside half when he played. And so there's huge sport on both sides of the family.
Absolutely, and both the Kellys of Loughrea and the Lyneses of Newtown Daly, they'd be, you know, very sporting family. You know, they were mad into their sports, really. Like so, but they were Galway to the bone, and hence when we moved to Offaly, we were still Galway to the bone for quite a time.
But you got a great draw for hurling.
I did, I suppose. Well, growing up in Banagher, I was about 6 or 7 when we moved to Banagher. So at the time, Offaly hurling was just coming strong. And funny enough, Offaly in 81, Johnny Flaherty threw the ball into the net.
Correct, the emphasis on through.
I was 9 years of age, and I was sitting above in Croke Park among all my friends with a Galway jersey on me. And at the time, Pádraig Corn from Banagher was the captain of the Offaly team. Right. He collected the Lee McCarthy the same day. Sean Silk was the captain of the Galway team just over the bridge of Banagher, so it was huge rivalry up around Banagher that time. Yes. And I was actually on the Galway side of things at that stage. But sure. I suppose as time went on, all the as I was growing up in Banagher, all the and I suppose my dad with the hurling background, all I wanted to do was hurl. Growing up in Banagher, all the lads I went to school with, awfully, won All-Ireland minor titles in 86, 88 and 89, and many of those lads went on to win All-Irelands in the 90s. And, I would have grown up with that group, really, because I suppose the hurlers in Offaly were all from a very... Banagher and Bore were the epicentres of
hurling. Because it was a tightly
knit area. I had a real passion for hurling. I unfortunately wasn't good enough to make the grade, but it was certainly my first love.
Which brings me to the question, why golf and when golf?
I started playing golf from 9 or 10 years of age. Like, as a young fella growing up in Banagher, you had the river at the bottom of the town, but like, I suppose, before, we got to the age where we got summer jobs or that, national school and that, you hurled all summer long, but as well as that, we were playing golf from 9 or 10 years of age. So we used to get up in the morning, you might cycle into the golf club with a packet of sandwiches and maybe a flask, and you could play 36 holes of golf and cycle home again, and you might go for a dip in the river when you got home, and you'd head to the sports field then for the evening, you play hurling for the evening, and that was it. You get up and do the same thing again the following day. So it wasn't just golf, it was golf and hurling at that stage. And I suppose, as I said, hurling would have been my first love, and golf would have been kind of, but I had an inkling that I could be handy enough at golf if I put my mind to it, and I never really did until, really up until my 20s or so. But at that stage...
Was that gradual? That, as time was moving on, I get where you're coming from as regards a particular age and doing absolutely everything, but as you get older, it kind of goes one way or the other.
Well, I suppose I wasn't making the grade at the hurling. I couldn't make the club team even, because there was our club team was like a county team at the time in the hurling. And then with the golf, Richie Coughlin was about the same age as me, and he was the first player to get a PGA Tour card and a European Tour card. He got it at his first go after playing Walker Cup. He was a year or two younger than me, and he was actually much better than me. And to be honest, I was chatting George earlier, I developed a problem with alcohol at a pretty young age. So I lost all interest in sports, academics, everything really. And alcohol became the number one and king for quite a while. And I wound up in rehab at 24 years of age. And when I came out of rehab, I had to fill my time with something other than the pub, and golf was an easy choice. So anyways, I had to fill out 3 cards, and I remember thinking, geez, if I could get it 12 or 14 handicap now, I'd be handy enough and I have a chance maybe to win a president's or a captain's prize or something like that. But I filled out 3 cards anyways, and I was disgusted. They gave me 6 handicap, but within about 12 months, I went from 6 to plus 1. So straight away, but I became, I suppose, maybe of an addictive personality or something. I became totally addicted to golf.
Was it the fact that, did you have a zone? You say how you were disappointed. Like every golfer would always like to have a few shots maybe, but you have an ambition. But your card is at 6. Did you have this tunnel vision? Right, I'm going to try and get to become a scratch golfer.
Well, I kind of had that when I was going back into it. I kind of felt, I felt from back in the days, I said, look, I could have been a good golfer if I put my mind to it, and drink had sort of destroyed everything. And I kind of felt, I knew there was golf in me, put it that way. And but at the same time, I was thinking to myself, and my ambition really, secretly, and I didn't say it to any, no, it did. I wasn't shy about saying it once I got to a certain level, but my ambition was to play golf for Ireland, and I kind of set out a stepping stone for myself that I'm going to play Senior Cup for Bourne, then I'm going to play for Leinster, and then I'm going to win a championship, then I'm going to play for Ireland. But like, I suppose I wanted a handy one in the bag, maybe a captain's prize or something before I got into the serious stuff.
Was that a motivational factor that... If you don't mind just going back to that, when you came out of rehab, that you found that golf was the perfect support for you, that once you got onto the golf course, you had that drive once again that you might have had before?
Well, for me, yeah, it was certainly good, and it was good to have a focus, but I suppose, like, it certainly wouldn't have been the primary, when I came out of rehab, they recommend a lot of that you do a lot of things, and there's a certain organization where you meet a group of people who help you through all your troubles. And I went to that religiously. You know, I met those people religiously for quite a while, and that would certainly be the number one reason why I was able to make something of my life. The golf was certainly, I would say, up there with that, in that it provided me. When I play golf, people often ask me, what's the attraction in golf? And for me, no matter what's going on in the world, good or bad, or going on in my life or my family's life, or my, you know, whether good, bad, indifferent, once I stand on the first tee, it's almost like meditation. It's like, I'm here. I'm going to get that ball in, and no, the rest of the world might as well not exist. And I suppose if I go back to when I was drinking, when I went into a pub and I sat down, I ordered a pint, I got the nice big first creamy pint in front of me, I was like, that for me was, the rest of the world is out there, I'm here now. And golf was certainly for me a replacement for that I could totally, I was present, basically, is probably the best way of putting it.
And also, we're just going to have to take a quick ad break and come back after these, and we'll move on with the story of Joe Lyons' fascinating story about his life and golf career.
You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway. Over the Line, in association with Supermax and the Plaza Group, proudly fueling GAA supporters at the Galway Plaza, the N17 Plaza Tuam, Loughrea Service Station and the Kinnegad Plaza. The Plaza Group, the perfect pit stop on your journey. You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway.
And you're very welcome back to part two in the first hour of Over the Line with myself, George McDonough, and John Mulligan. And our special guest this week is Joe Lyons. And we've spoken to Joe, and he has spoken about his life so far with golf, and we're going up to when you really started to take golf serious, Joe, and scratch, you know, the ambition to be a scratch golfer, but then representative of golf as well, obviously, was another target for you.
Yeah, it certainly was. And initially, I was thinking of if I would play for Leinster, and you know, I was in Bore, I got down to scratch very quick, and I started to win some senior scratch cups, which was a good thing, and started to compete at championship level. And we had a good senior cup team in Bore at the time, and you know, the dream would have been to win an All-Ireland senior cup with Bore, which would have been phenomenal for a small club, but wasn't to be. And it became more and more difficult because I got work in Galway, started working at a factory in Galway, and then I went back and I did a degree in social care, and then I got a job as a social care worker in Galway. And I was travelling up and down to play golf in Bore, even though I have a couple of people who suggested that I might try and join Galway Golf Club, and I didn't for a while. If I left it for a couple of years, but to me, as soon as I did, I was moving on. I was getting into my late 20s, and a lot of the provincial squads are looking for younger players, and Leinster had no interest in me at all. I'd say from the far end of the province, and I was that bit older, and then, as soon as I moved to Galway, I was brought into the Connacht squad, and and also the people in Galway that were suggesting, you know, they'd been in several All-Ireland Senior Cup finals, but they'd never won one, and it was a big focus in the club. So there was that. There was a lot of good golfers in Galway. So there was a bit of competition there, but the course itself, and as I say, I'll always be grateful for Bore for, you know, development, you know, for where I started the game. But certainly the move to Galway Golf Club and the assistance I got in Galway Golf Club from the members, I got a great welcome in the club. I love the golf course. I've said that down the years. I think it's good enough to host a Walker Cup. I got laughed at for saying it. I love the place. And it tests every part of your game. And I certainly benefited hugely from joining Galway Golf Club, and my game improved as a result.
Is it because, let's say, the fact that the elements play a huge part in what happens at Galway Golf Club as well, right on the sea?
Absolutely.
And you have to cross the road for the first couple of holes, then you're coming back into parkland. That was another goal that you wanted to conquer in your own golfing journey.
Absolutely, there's quite a, it can be quite windy there at times, but as well as that, during the summer, the golf course runs quite fast, and the greens get exceptionally cat, and it's superbly presented by Billy Connell and his team, and has always been. And it tests every club in the bag. If you're hitting golf shots sideways in Galway Golf Club, you're going to get punished for it. And if you need to be able to putt, you need to be able to chip. It's some extremely difficult up and downs if you miss the greens. And if you can chip and putt around Galway Golf Club, you can do it anywhere. So it definitely joining Galway was a huge, huge help to me, yeah.
And then, as you said, you had won scratch cups, and then the ambition within the club, again, it was another driving, and you were there, a part of it was to win a senior cup.
Yeah, so it won scratch cups, and a lot of them were 36-hole scratch cups. So I went to Carlow in 2005, and I won an event called the Midland Scratch Cup in Carlow, which at the time sort of rivaled Mullingar. There was a full international field there. It was over 72 holes, and I beat some good players, Jim Carvin and Rory Leonard and Niall Carney. Niall Carney was leading the tour the last couple of years, and the other two guys won quite a bit down the years. But I beat them down the stretch in Carlow, and took huge confidence out of that, I suppose. So that was 0-5, and then in 0-6 we won the Irish Senior Cup. It was the first Irish Senior Cup Galway Golf Club had won. It won a few Barton Shields down the year, which is like a foursomes golf for scratch golfers, but the Senior Cup is the holy grail, really. It's like a club All-Ireland in hurling or football, I suppose. Yes. So we won that in 2006, and we celebrated it well, and we won, we won another in 2009, and again, and we won in 2017 and 2019, and I've been lucky enough to be on teams with different generations of players.
And that's another thing, Joe, there's a fair span in those four senior cups, and you probably were, I would think, the common denominator in a lot of those. And would you have seen different young people coming on the scene, and guys that have attained your own level, you watch their progress with interest?
Well, definitely, yeah. It's great to see the new lads coming through. But, equally so, when I joined Galway Golf Club, the welcome I received from people like John Butler, who's now deceased, Sean Hostey, Jerry Malai, the great Tommy O'Connor.
Tommy, yeah.
They were great people. And the welcome I received there, Pete Scott was another man who sadly passed away shortly after I joined the club. He was very much involved in the Senior Cup, and his son Gary was part of our first Senior Cup win in Enniscrone, and it was quite emotional at the time. And, things like that, they're really so legends of the club. Tommy O'Connor and Sean Hostey in particular, I would say, they're known the length and breadth of the UK and Ireland as to how good of golfers they were. And I could say, without contradiction, both exceptional golfers well into old age. So
I know Tommy O'Connor, contend.
Yeah.
The latter had some great competitions.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know, many Costello Cups he won. I think he won Costello Cups playing off scratch and stuff like this, Sean has won Irish Veterans Championships, and they both had trials for Walker Cup and stuff like this. So They were great, they were great men to be there. And a lot of that cohort, not just the guys, the championship golfers, a lot of the older generation. My dad had been a member in Galway in the 70s, and, he'd, as I said, he'd worked in the bank, so he had a lot of colleagues still in the club. John Butler was one of them, as I mentioned, Jimmy Duggan. John Worski then was captain of the year, won the West of Ireland. He was very friendly with my uncles, and just a lot of family connections within the club, and a great welcome from the golf community there as well.
There's also an interesting angle to a story about within one of those Irish Senior Cups. Was it the course where your father...
Oh, that was the West of Ireland, yeah. So my dad, being a hurling man from East Galway and working in the bank, and he was bounced around here, there and everywhere. He was thumbing up and down thumbing up and down from places like Donegal and Roscommon for training, and down in Loughrea. And he said the lads, when he was in Roscommon, the lads in Roscommon were asking him to come out to play some golf. And it was long before I was born. I'm sure that's only an old man's game. And I suppose there was a bit of a snob element to golf back in the day. And anyways, they eventually persuaded him to come out. He said he went out, he had four or five clubs under his arm, he had no bag or anything. And he said he fell in love with it straight away. But he was staying in a guest house in Roscommon at the time by the name of McNamara's. And when I won the West of Ireland, the guy that was captain of County Sligo Golf Club, the horse club, and Sligo County Sligo horses every year, Michael McNamara, who was the son of the people that owned the guest house in Roscommon, he was captain of County Sligo Golf Club, and he presented me with the West of Ireland trophy. And it's just an extraordinary.
You can't write them things. It's
Well, it was like it was meant to be, maybe, because like it was an extraordinary coincidence that it was his parents that gave my dad a few clubs to take up the game, and my dad that taught me how to play the game, obviously. And next thing, Michael McNamara has presented me with the West of Ireland trophy in 2007. I mean, you couldn't script it.
Can I ask you, just, you mentioned, I mean, there are some tournaments there that are absolutely iconic. You mentioned the West of Ireland. You've mentioned, obviously, the Senior Cups, the different cup competitions. Why is there such an appeal, especially with the Senior Cup? When Galway win the Senior Cup, it's up there with any major sporting achievement of that particular year.
Well, yeah, it's, for the Senior Cup in particular, like, I suppose the best way to describe it, it's like winning an All-Ireland Senior Hurling Club Championship or Senior Football Championship. It's the best five players in the club. If whatever, I think there's something like 350 clubs, golf clubs in Ireland, and it's five match play matches, the first to win three, you go through to the next round. And I suppose in Galway, there was... They had won four, so you had, they also have a foursomes version of that, which is Barton Shield, and that's prestigious to win as well. But Tommy O'Connor now and Sean Hostie and the boys would have won Barton Shields back in the '50s and sixties, and I think Jerry Malloy might have been involved in that team. I'm sure I can't think of the other guys, but anyways, the club hadn't won a Senior Cup when for a second taking all the credit here, there was a few of us there that came together at the time, and loads of us involved in it. It was just lucky for me that I happened to be of the age where I could still be involved in it over a period of time. But so like in any club, to win an Irish Senior, like for down the years, for example, John, I suppose the dominant clubs in Senior Cup would have been Portmarnock from Dublin or Shandon Park from Belfast, and between them, they just totally dominated Senior Cup in Irish golf going back to decades. I think if you went back far enough, I mean, you don't have to go back that far. Actually, when I was growing up playing golf in the '80s or nineties, amateur golf was quite a big thing. You could, like, I was Scratch Cup and Bar. I remember winning the playoff in a Scratch Cup and Bar in the mid-90s, and there must have been 1,000 people out watching the playoff, and they would tell you that, say, if you went back to the Halcyon days of amateur golf, I suppose, with the likes of, you know, Joe Carr, Cecil Ewing, back in the John Bourke from Lahinch, these guys in the 40s, 50s and 60s were nearly more revered than professional golfers, and you could get at the likes of a West of Ireland or South of Ireland, you could have 5,000 people watching the final, you know. But Senior Cup was the one.
You rightly said there, Joe, that, you know, the Irish golfing community or the golf sport is littered with star amateurs that never, you know, Roddy Carr himself, Joe's son, went back to play from being professional to amateur and became a very, very good coach and TV commentator. The man I would always associate with, known from amateur golf, over the Arthur Pearce.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, Arthur Pearce contended in Irish Opens for three of the four rounds at times.
Yeah.
You know, when there was good fields in Irish Open. And of course, Shane Lowry won the Irish Open as an amateur.
Absolutely. And yeah, I could go on and on. Like Pat Murray, I know, played in four Irish Opens as an amateur, working man as well. Mm-hmm. Made the cut in two of them, was in the top 10 going into the final round of Derry Manor 1 year. Like we, you know, particularly, you know, myself and Eddie McCormick would compete with Pat quite a bit. We'd be of the same vintage. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, I don't know, everything has gone sort of global at this stage, so everybody's just fascinated by professional golf. It's a bit of a shame in some respects. The Scratch Cups have really suffered. To be fair, the Irish Championships are well supported. It's the likes of North, South, East and West. Mm. And I suppose in another way, we're very lucky now to be involved in a sport that kind of honours its senior citizens, and we have all the senior championships.
Well,
so.
I want to ask you, one thing that we cover an awful lot are those respective competitions, especially at club level. You mentioned your senior cups, your Barton Shields, and the many others. The fact that they've kind of now been turned into major events in their own right, has, would you agree with the saying that that's actually even increased the interest even more now?
We've seen
great teams like Portumna have done very well in senior women, for example.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, John. You know, there's huge interest in the golf community and in every club. I mean, the honour of winning the senior cup is just it's the pinnacle for any club, really. To it's the number one pennant in the country that any club can win. The first year we won it, the celebration is unbelievable. But like, you know, to have done it the four times is, you know, I never thought I'd win one, never mind win four. Like, so, Carlton House won it last year, Carlton House won it, 2 years ago, I think, and they'd been knocking on the door for a while, but you're talking to the guys there, and these would be guys that have won, like Keith Egan won the West of Ireland last week. He played for Carlton House. Another guy called Paul O'Hanlon. Paul O'Hanlon, in particular, in 2007, Paul O'Hanlon won what they call the Willie Gill Award, Order of Merit Award. Now, the Willie Gill Order of Merit Award is they have an Order of Merit system for playing in North of Ireland, South of Ireland, East of Ireland, Irish Close, West of Ireland, all these. Yeah. So all the championships.
The category won.
It's like Bridgestone.
Same thing. It's now the Bridgestone, yeah. So yeah. Paul won that. But he won that. Second in that was Rory McIlroy. And third was Shane Lowry. And fourth was Joe Lyons, actually. But I'd be kind of proud of that. But the thing about it, Paul won his first senior cup 2 years ago. Mm. And I was speaking to him about it, and he said it's one of the greatest moments of his golf career.
Just one thing, was that year that you mentioned yourself and Rory McIlroy, was that the year that McIlroy won the West of Ireland in Westport?
Oh, he won the Irish Close
in Westport.
Eddie won the Irish Close, McIlroy beat Eddie McCormack actually in the final of the Irish Close in Westport.
I interviewed him after.
Yeah, and like I remember, and then Rory won the Irish Close and the West of Ireland in 05 and 06, and he won the Irish Close and the West in both years. And in 07, I was lucky enough, I dodged bullets. Mick Lavelle from Belmullet beat Shane Lowry in the second round of the West of Ireland, and I played Mick in the third round and I beat him. And then later on, Paul Cutler beat Rory McIlroy in the quarterfinal of the West of Ireland, and I happened to beat Paul in the final. And you know, Rory was going for three in a row that year. Like, 2 or 3 months after that West of Ireland, Rory finished 10th in a British Open, and before the end of the year, he didn't even have to go to Q School because he earned so much money. He turned pro after that British Open. He earned so much money he didn't have to go to Q School, and he won the Hong Kong Open that October, so which 6 months after that West of Ireland. Like,
but that's also just something that's fascinating about the makeup of the likes of the West of Ireland, where you play your two rounds of stroke play and then it becomes
the match play. Yeah.
Is there a different mindset or I love your honesty where you say you dodged a bullet, but
yeah,
the match play is, as we all know, from Ryder Cup, it is more mental than...
Oh yeah, no, look, I loved it, to be honest. And like, they've gone back to that format. They went away for it for a couple of years. Like, they went back to the match play format this year, the two rounds and 64 to qualify. Last year it was three rounds and 16 to qualify, and it kind of sucked the soul out of that tournament. You know, this year you had you had locals involved. Like, that match play format means, like, now if you go up to the West of Ireland, if you go up to County Sligo Golf Club and you go in the door, there's a list of winners of the West of Ireland Championship inside the door. It's one of my proudest things. I'm listed up there with some of the greats of Irish golf. You mentioned Arthur Pearce there earlier on, Joe Carr, Padraig Carrington, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry, Ken Kearney, Garrett McGimsey. All these names are up there, and I'm privileged to have my name up there with them. But the beauty of the West of Ireland is, and particularly that format of 36 holes and qualifying and match play, an average Joe Soap, which maybe a little bit above average Joe Soap, has a chance of winning. And so a real amateur golfer who works for a living, who's he actually can go up there dreaming of winning the West of Ireland, because if things go his way, he can 18 holes, anything can happen over 18 holes. And but also the superstars will come through a lot of the time, but it does give everybody a chance.
Time to take a break, our final ad break of this hour. Come back to us and we'll talk more to Joe Lyons about his career in golf.
You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway. Over the Line, in association with Supermax, celebrating three decades of passion, dedication and unforgettable moments on and off the field. Supermax, proud sponsors of Galway GAA for over 30 years. You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway.
And you're very welcome back to Over the Line with myself, George McDonough, and John Mulligan. And our very special guest this evening is renowned golfer Joe Lyons, because we were listing all his achievements. We could be here till 10 o'clock, and I mean that in a very complimentary way, Joe.
Thanks, George.
The wider, everybody is familiar with what happened earlier this season. It got publicity, what happened. I know you weren't worried. It was a marvellous achievement to win the Spanish Open, as it is, Senior Amateur Open. You've played international golf. Do you find now that you're really relaxed with your game and you're really enjoying your game despite all the success you've had?
Very much so, George. I suppose I've been lucky enough, like I was chatting earlier, I worked as a social care worker for 20 years or so, and I left that and set up our own business, and that's been thriving, mainly bringing in North American golfers into Ireland and the UK. And, you know, thankfully, we have a great team. My partner, Colm Crowley, if you don't mind me mentioning. Well,
that's now what is known as Lions Links.
Lions Links, yeah. So, Colm, Keane, Shane O'Hara, Milena, we have a great team. And they do all the hard work there. It allows me to go off and play golf. But my role, really, at this stage in the business is speaking to... you know, I'm generally front of house. I meet and greet people, new business, lead generation, stuff like this. So it allows me, and one of the things, I suppose, when we got together and we set up our partnership in the business, I was very adamant that, look, I want to have time to be able to go and compete in championships. Mm-hmm. I knew, as I mentioned there earlier on, that golf honours a senior citizen, so I was looking forward to hitting 50, which is a great thing, really. And as soon as I hit 50, I kind of hit the ground running. And Eddie McCormack actually says to me, Eddie is about 6 months younger than me, which meant I got to play the seniors event for a year before Eddie. And he said to me, he says, Joe, he said, you better win all you can now this year, because you won't be winning much next year, he says.
Glad to see that continues anyway, Joe.
But that's rivalry. But
so he was right. Like, he won the European seniors last year, and he finished one in our order of merit last year, and I finished number two. But we've had huge rivalry down the years, and I think it drives both of us on.
That's what I was going to think.
We've been good friends as well.
But it's a friendly rivalry, but it's also, I mean, we're talking about an amateur sport, whether we like it or not. It's something that you're able to keep each other and push each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, just going back to your previous question, I had I now have a bit of time to be able to play golf, mm-hmm. and I have a team there at work who are saying, go ahead, Joe, knock yourself out. And I'm lucky to have all the success I had, you know, down the years. And I've started looking at it a bit differently. I'm always trying to play tricks with the mind. Down the years, when I had high expectations, that's when my worst performances have been. And funny enough, when I least expect it, then I tend to have a win. But that's beginning to flip, really. Once I hit seniors, I won a couple of times earlier on. I had a couple of phenomenal scores where I was saying to myself, I'm just going to enjoy this now. Meet all the bold buddies that I golfed with down the years, and I'll be competing against these lads, and this is going to be a social thing. And, you know, and granted, we'll try our best to win, but sure, life is good.
There's less pressure.
Life is good. The business is good. I'm out playing golf. Sure, if I win, I win. If I don't, I don't. And invariably, that bringing that attitude has been very rewarding to me. So the first year I won the Ulster and the Leinster seniors. I ran away with the Leinster. I shot 64 9 under, I think, in the second round. And then last year, I was beaten in a playoff for the Irish Seniors Open, and then I won the Irish Seniors Close Championship. Finished fifth in the Europeans behind Eddie. And one of the big things for us both last year, we qualified to play in the British Seniors Open at Royal Portcawl last year. So we played at that. I certainly wasn't happy with my performance there. I missed the cut by quite a bit and left a lot of shots on the course. But it was a great experience to be in the players' lounge with people like Bernard Langer, Gary Player, Jose Maria Lazabal, Vijay Singh, Colin Montgomery. And I played a practice round with KJ Chai. Eddie played a practice round with Jose Maria Lazabal. It was just, I suppose, for two lads who were...
Loved their golf.
Dedicated to amateur golf all their lives. It was kind of like a reward. For me, it felt like a reward. You'd have to talk to Eddie about how he... But for me, it was like a reward. I'd love to do it again. Goal this year is to get to Carnoustie and play all four rounds and win the leading amateur at the Seniors Open. And you know, that's my focus. Again, once you hit 50, you get the chance to play for Ireland again. We've played two bronze European medals the last 2 years with the Irish team at the European Championships. Win the Spanish Open this year, of course, and have all the
flavour of
the cup and all that sort of stuff. But, like, look, life is great, George. Golf has been very good to me, and, you know, I'm looking forward to a bit more success.
We spoke before you went over last year, and... now I got the chance to actually ask you the question. Was it? I think you've answered it as well. But was it everything that you expected it to be, and maybe a little bit more?
It was, John. Yeah, it was both. It was a lifetime experience. Hopefully, not once in a lifetime experience. I'd love to do it again. There was a tinge of disappointment, really, I suppose, with my performance. I played with a guy called Wes Short Jr., who's won gazillions on the Champions Tour in America, and he certainly didn't hit the ball any better than me. And, you know, his skill set wasn't any better than mine, but he managed the course better. Now, he missed the cut as well, but what it brought home to me was that, look, you go to one of these senior Open Championships and you perform... What I brought home out of it, if I can get back here again and if I can perform to the best of my ability the next time I'm here, I'll comfortably make the cut.
What do you have to do to get back there again?
Well, with golf there's always a little bit of luck, and I suppose this summer I won the second biggest seniors amateur event in the United States last October in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm. So pretty much the same field I played in the US Seniors Amateur played in the event that I won. And I played with a guy from Oklahoma. He was 65 years of age, and I asked him, how did he stay competitive? Because that's one of my long-term goals, is to stay competitive for as long as I can.
Yes.
So he said, he emphasized strength and mobility work in the gym. He said, you lose 1% muscle mass every year. He said, you need to do that. So I've actually lost 2 stone weight this winter. Put a huge effort in the gym. Didn't play a whole lot of golf. Went to Spain. Had a couple of practice rounds, and to have a foursomes event before the singles event. So I had 4 rounds of golf played before we got the singles event. And again, I treated it like a holiday. And sure, by the time Sunday came, it was my 7th round in 7 days. You don't forget how to play golf in the space of a few months. So started rolling a couple of nice putts early on. So I suppose I just need to keep focus on getting better, John, I suppose, in a roundabout way answering your question.
And is that the case, like what you did during the winter is like what some teams do as regards pre-season? So that was your pre-season,
absolutely,
so to speak.
Absolutely, yeah. I hope to keep up a bit of the gym work over the winter. But to get back there, what do I need to get back there? I need to keep getting better and keep improving. And, you know, definitely... You know, I've been even the West of Ireland last week. I finished 7th in the qualifying. I was leading. That's playing against the men rather than just the seniors. I was actually leading with a few holes to go, but dropped a few coming in. And I definitely think I'm continuing to improve. And it's great. It's great to still have that appetite, I suppose.
Do you find yourself? Would you consider yourself maybe your biggest self-critic?
Yeah.
If something like that happens, as you said, you were disappointed with your performance.
I think all golfers get down themselves. All golfers do. Like, you know, I suppose one of the things, I just to go back to our earlier in our conversation, you mentioned some of the young lads coming through. And I just want, you know, because I know we're time constraints, I want to mention the likes of Liam Nolan, Ronan Mullarney, Luke O'Neill, Sam Murphy, David Kish. There's a a multitude of talent coming through in Galway Golf, in Galway Golf at the moment. And there's a couple of girls there as well. Is it Kate? There's a girl from Oakdurard, her name escapes me at the minute, an exceptional talent. And even the West of Ireland last week, young Conor Stapleton and Rory Gallagher, Conor Stapleton, Connemara, Rory Gallagher, from Galway Bay, who I'd never met. He's only 16 years of age. He was leading after the first round, comfortably qualified.
Kate Dillon from Oakdurard.
And if I've missed anybody, apologies. But like, I mean, the talent is great to see that coming through, you know.
You through your experience, you can see this. You probably see some of yourself in them maybe back then, but you think that the work has been done, and there's great pathways as well. Like, we've spoken to Jimmy Duggan on this programme a number of times, Declan Cunningham as well. The pathways that are there for young golfers now, it's great to see.
Well, absolutely, and Declan Cunningham is a huge, I know he helps all these youngsters in and around the Galway area, and Jimmy as well, of course, too. But like, I do think this, the facilities and the assistance that's there now is far superior to what it was when I was growing up. And these youngsters, the standards in golf are getting better and better all the time. But it's great to see that the Galway kids are up at the top of the pile at national events, and hopefully we'll see somebody from Galway out on tour as a superstar.
It's probably no surprise. Ronan Mullarney is now on tour. He's part of the Challenge Tour, and he's not doing too badly. It's still very early days for him. But you mentioned Conor Stapleton from Connemara, another brilliant young golfer kind of coming through the ranks, along with the likes of Luke O'Neill and Sam Murphy, Liam Nolan and Gade Dillon and so on. Silly question maybe, but does it surprise you that these guys are now to the top of their game, not just amongst themselves, but nationally?
No, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I've seen most of them play as youngsters, and they're exceptionally good, exceptionally dedicated. There's good coaches all around Galway. I know I've mentioned before, and I don't want to mention names, but I have in the past. There's so many good PGA professionals at the various clubs around Galway, all there to help young players coming through. I think there's nothing but positives for Galway Golf going forward.
Speaking of positives, and one of the great tournaments in the world is on this week. You said something you love yourself, the Masters.
Yeah.
Now it's time to put you on the block. Who's going to win it?
Well, no, I'm afraid to disappoint, but the favourite looks very, very strong. I think he'd be very hard to beat. Scotty Scheffler is just playing phenomenal golf.
It's unbelievable what he's doing.
He's Tiger-esque. And whoever beats Scotty Scheffler will win it, would be my opinion.
What about Rory?
I'd love to see Rory do it. He had a reasonable performance this weekend. Finished third, long way behind the two winners. I suppose every year, my worry for him is that every year he goes back to Augusta. It's getting harder and harder, I think.
Is that the only one no Irish golfer has ever won? I don't think any Irish golfer has ever won the Masters.
I think you're right. Only major.
There was years, I think Sandy Lyle was the first European to actually win it.
Seve was before Sandy. Seve was the man.
Sandy Lyle in 87 was probably the one that we all became those, because that was the first time it was being shown on RTE. And Woosnam and Faldo.
Woosnam, Faldo, Lazabal, Lyle. All those, for European golf, those guys broke the mold. I suppose Seve broke the mold, but Seve was like Pied Piper, I suppose, but yeah, so Scheffler, I think, is for me, Scheffler is the man. I wouldn't count out John Rahm or Brooks Koepka. Rory, I'd love to see Rory do it. I'd love to see, obviously, I was quite friendly with Shane and played a lot of golf with Shane at amateur level. I'd know his parents quite well and all the family. His aunt I grew up a couple of doors down the road from his aunt. I'd love to see Shane Lowry win the Masters. I think he's capable of winning it. I think if he plays his best,
be some crack putting the jacket
without,
on.
He's not without a shout, like I would say. But everything needs to go from Scheffler is the one.
I think he's the man really that we'd all love to see winning as Shane Lowry, because there'd be just something else if he was to win the green jacket. Joe, we're now done, but we've 2.5 minutes left. You've really enjoyed a wonderful career. And I would think, by just looking at you, you're really looking forward to the next couple of years with the business growing and to be able to play these tournaments, as you said, in a more relaxed manner, but in a very competitive manner.
Absolutely. I have some goals I want to achieve. play. I'd like to play all four rounds, and I've no problem putting them out there. I don't know what people say you should keep them close to it, but I want to play all four rounds in a British Seniors Open. There's a bit of an anomaly in seniors amateur golf. So it's over 55s in the US and the UK. It's over 50 in Europe. There's one over 50s event in the US, which I won this year. The rest of them are all over 55s. I'd love to win a USGA event, which would be a US Seniors Amateur Championship or a British Seniors Amateur Championship. Play all four rounds in a British Seniors Open. And there's a thing called a Concession Cup, which is like Walker Cup for what they call mid-amateurs. Mid-amateurs are over 25. A combined mid-amateur and senior team. So there's six seniors picked from Europe and six. Again, it's over 55s because of the United States insist on that. But I have loads of goals left, and it's great to have goals in life. I suppose it might keep me healthy and keep me on the straight and narrow for another while. Mm-hmm. And
what advice would you have for up-and-comers? Because you've been there, done that.
Yeah, well, the main thing I'd say would be to listen to the people around you, particularly your local PGA professional. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody. I'm sure Eddie McCormick would be happy to talk to anybody. The guys that have been there, done that, will have loads of words of wisdom when it comes to how to prepare yourself on the day. But the PGA professionals are the first port of call. They know when it comes to technique. I have no idea technique, to be honest, and lots of people sometimes ask me for advice on the golf swing,
you're comfortable.
I'm not qualified to give it because I don't know enough about it, to be honest, and I sort of see the ball and hit it, and that's the way it's been for me. But the PGA professionals are trained to be able to work with people on a custom basis.
As they say in golf, Joe, you drive for show and you put for low.
Well, that's definitely true. I remember Shane Lowry saying to me, I played with him about a year after he won the Irish Open and he just turned pro, and he was saying to me, he had spoken to Gary Player, and Gary Player said to him, he said, show me a good putter and I'll show you a pro who can make money on tour. Like, so it doesn't matter what level of golf you play, if you can't put the ball in the hole, you have to be able to hold outputs to win competitions, whether that's a captain's prize, president's prize, West of Ireland, US Masters, whatever it is, you have to hold out.
Very quickly, what's next?
Next, I'm going to France next week to play the French Seniors Open, and please God, Ryanair, let me bring the trophy home.
Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's really been a wonderful honour to have you here. You're so honest and so clear about your life and what the future holds for you. Every success with Lions Links. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, George. Thanks a million.
You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway. Over the Line, in association with Supermax, home of the fresh 100% Irish chicken breast sandwich. Always fresh, never frozen. Visit supermax.ie.